is CJLO News. The English Montreal School Board, or EMSB, is once again taking Quebec's government to court. On August 11th, the EMSB voted to sue the province over imposed budget cuts ahead of the upcoming school year. The EMSB is no stranger to legal battles with the province. They have active ongoing cases over language rights and religious symbols, as well as the dissolution of the school boards. This most recent plan is to sue over provincial budget cuts. Back in June, the province announced cuts to education. The EMSB is facing an $11 million budget cut, as well as an additional $10 million penalty if they fail to meet imposed staffing caps. That's a potential $20 million loss for the board coming into this new year. Joe Ortona is the president and chair of the EMSB. He believes this issue is related to the CAC government's relationship with English language education.
Unfortunately, this government refuses to acknowledge that we as a minority community have constitutional rights and constitutional protections when it comes to education. That's not a system that I guess they like or respect. They would much prefer to be able to impose whatever they want on us, which is something that thankfully the courts keep reminding them they can't do.
Here is Ortona breaking down the board's basic legal argument for taking the province to court over budget cuts.
As English school boards, we have the right to manage and control our system. The Court of Appeal stated very clearly last April in the Bill 40 judgment that the government doesn't get to micromanage how we spend our money. We understand the local needs. We understand what it is that the local community, wants in terms of priorities of where we spend the money, and we are legitimately elected by that community. With regards to the amount of cuts that they not only the amount of cuts but the manner in which they announced these cuts without any consultation of any kind, without any justification, without any transparency. So all of that is going to be debated in the courts.
The Ministry of Education has not responded to our questions about the lawsuit at this time. Back in June, when the cuts were announced, they stated publicly that their cuts to education, of $200 million total, represented only 1% of the education budget, and they were asking schools and school boards to make their own choices when reacting to the cuts. For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Adam Innes.
Hurrying illuminates the snow in flight. Clouds are whirling, clouds are scurrying. Dark is the sky and dark the night. Across the open plain I'm driven. The little bell goes ding, ding, ding. By holy dread my soul is riven, such emptiness is gathering. Coachmen drive them faster, faster. Cancer, they're too tired, you see. I'm blinded by the blizzard master. The roads are drifting heavily. Can't see the horses. Lost the track, sir. We're done for. We'll be frozen away. Some demons got us. That's a fact, sir. A demon's leading us astray. freezing, blowing, spitting at me, Lord, this one's mean. He scared the horses, they'll be going headlong into some damned ravine. He's right in front, Lord, isn't he frightening? Dressed like a milestone, bloody queer. And there he goes, off again, like lightning. God save us, Master, that was near. The moon through total darkness hurrying illuminates the snow in flight. Clouds are whirling, clouds are scurrying. Dark is the sky, and dark the night. We lurch in circles, strength declining. Suddenly silent is the bell. The team has halted, what's that shining? Tree stump or wolf, sir, who can tell? Storm is howling, the storm is crying, drives itself harder in despair. The horses snort, away he's flying, only his eyes in the gray murk flare. The horses strain upon their traces, the little bell goes ding, ding, ding. I see amidst the endless spaces a host of spirits gathering, numberless and formless devils in the blizzard's moonlit haze, and twirling in their murky revels as leaves swirl in November days. So many in me carried. Whither, why do they plaintively sing? Is there a witch who's getting married? Some goblin are they burying?
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back on with the voice of the voiceless on CGLO 1690 AM. I'm your host Judy, and I'm here with Miriam.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back on the show, The Voice of the Voiceless. I'm very excited to be here today. This is another very special episode we have with a very special guest today on our show. But before we jump into that, I want to ask you, Judy, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling good, more relaxed than before, like from the past episodes, because it's been a calmer day.
Yeah.
And just like the weather is nice and finished work early and everything.
You had some hours to chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Now me, I was like hurrying. I was like, okay, go. And so yeah, we're finally here and I'm super, super excited. And today we have a special singer, student, beautiful woman with us today. Her name is Mira Muti.
Muti.
Okay, Mira Muti.
Yes.
She is a Palestinian, Jordanian, and Canadian artist here in Montreal. And she is a student also at McGill studying computer science. And she has done some radio shows, I believe, in Jordan also. And she's here with us today to discuss and chat about her story and her musical journey and her musical expertise here with us on CJLO 1690 AM. Hello, Mira.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
I'm super, super excited to be here. So tell us more about yourself, what you do, your journey in your music, you were now and where you were before and that whole process, and you can start general and then we can dive in into deeper questions.
I mean, you gave me the intro I needed. Like, you covered basically the identity thing. I'm a Jordanian Palestinian. I grew up in Jordan all my life. I moved to Canada 2 years ago to pursue my major, computer science, as you said. I've been in the music scene for as long as I can remember. I've been playing instruments since I was really, really young, and I started releasing my songs actually this year. So, like, you guys reached out to me, and I was more than happy to do something. This is my first time on a radio show in Montreal, so this is a huge thing for me.
A side note, we met each other at a Iliana concert.
Which is crazy to me.
That's iconic.
Yeah, obviously. Like, our inspo, our, like, idol.
She's a queen.
She's a queen. She is a queen.
No, definitely. No, I'm super happy for you to be here. I want to start off by, like, at the beginning of your life, right? So when you were a little baby, a little young kid, roaming around in the world. You mentioned that you started performing at a very young age. Could you describe your upbringing in music and how it has influenced the facility and maybe the creation of your new songs as you've grown older?
Okay, so I've grown up around music lovers. My older brother is a musician. My mom is an insane, like, music admirer. My dad loves music. It's just like we've always been around music my entire life. My mom always wanted me to listen to the most random musicians, but like, you'd have opera, you'd have Michael Jackson, you'd have so many different genres. So, like, I grew up with a kind of diverse outlook on music. And then she really wanted me to get into music and start playing instruments, so I've been playing since I was 4 years old. I picked up the violin as my first instrument. And then I moved on to the piano a year later. So I was doing both instruments at the same time. I did that for like a couple of years, and then in Corona I decided to learn the guitar, and I stole my brother's guitar because he was off to college, and I took that as an opportunity because I wanted to start posting music. I've been on and off posting piano covers and stuff like that on a separate account, which now does not exist, which is now transformed into my public account, which I post regularly on. So I started with that. I was posting very infrequently, and then I decided one day, you know what, let's take my main account and turn it public. And it was a pretty big deal for me because I was always...
And this was during COVID.
All of this was during COVID, like a full career shift. It's like you're in the mindset of, like, nobody's going to see me, so might as well do it.
Of course, and you're like at home most of the time.
So who's going to judge me? My mom bullied me for the eyeliner that I had on for like a year. And my whole family, I had like a signature eyeliner that I used to do like every single time I would post.
Post the same style.
So it was a signature thing. So every time I would come out of my room with an eyeliner, she's like, "Oh, are you done with the video?" I'm like, "Yeah." Like, I guess. I was posting. Honestly, I was pretty consistent. Like, I don't know. I was probably getting like 20 views per video, but I was posting every single week, twice a week. I was pretty consistent with it. So. And I didn't really care, honestly, about the numbers.
Consistency is like what makes the work like actually visible in the end, because you're like kept going, you didn't stop, and it's like actually like you know, like you got there. It's pretty amazing to see that.
I mean, it's nice to see it pay off sometimes. It's like rewarding. You feel like, okay, all of that consistency had an end goal.
Yeah, and you're also very talented. So consistency plus talent creates magic and creates attraction and things like that. So
Thank you.
What was your favorite instrument to play? Because you played three of them.
Ooh, that's a tough question, because each instrument had its like specific like attraction or like
maybe
I don't know.
You were also playing them at different ages. Maybe you remember one more than the other.
I played all three of them for a really long time.
Okay.
But the guitar is the most recent.
Okay.
But I started the qanun before the guitar. I started the qanun when I was 9. But it was such a coincidence when I picked up the qanun, because I used to take music classes at the most amazing like music teacher. His name is Hafiz Al-Ashi, and he basically was my vocal teacher, my violin teacher, my rit teacher. Like I started playing percussions like while I was singing, and then he always had this instrument on the corner, in the corner of the room, and then I was so mesmerized by it. Like I could sit down on the chair, like my feet didn't touch the ground yet. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go sit on that chair and play.
Just start playing.
Yeah, because we'd take like 5-minute, 10-minute breaks between like the sessions. So I would just like run over there and just start playing. Yeah.
Can you explain to us like what is the qanun? Because I recently learned about it like a few months ago. And before that, I didn't know. Maybe anyone who's listening wants to know more about it.
Yeah, it's not a very familiar instrument. It's very like niche to the Arab world.
Yeah.
But it's of Syrian descent.
Okay.
And there's also a qanun, but it's a different version. It's Turkish of Turkish descent.
Okay.
Mine is the Syrian qanun, and it's... I don't even know how many strings it has. It has like over 100 strings.
Wow. Yeah.
Maybe three strings per note, basically.
Okay.
Oh, so it's kind of hard to visualize, but if
and
you
hard
could
to play, right? Because if there's three strings for one note.
Yeah.
I mean, playing one note or three notes.
Yeah, and if one's off tune, you're done for. Yeah. You'd have to figure out which one's the wrong one, and then you'd have to manually tune. It's the worst thing about it is just like the tuning part. Mm-hmm. But if you become used to it eventually.
Okay.
But it just takes you like 30 minutes just like tuning.
Start tuning it.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah. But it's such a beautiful instrument. It's probably my favorite instrument.
Amazing. Yeah. I added on our playlist. Kanun. I don't know how to ooh, say the word, but should we play it?
We can play it. Which one
it's
you want?
The fifth one.
This?
That one, yeah. Okay. It's, I think they use the Turkish kanun.
Okay.
They almost sound the same. They just the tunings are different.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. So I found it and I was listening to it on the way here. So I was like, why not just add it?
Okay.
It was very relaxing, and yeah, I'll talk about it maybe more after the.
Okay, so we're gonna play it and then we're gonna play some ads. So enjoy, guys. Thank you.
Public, we offer a theatrical program made up of local films and international new releases, classics and little-known nuggets, as well as short films and family screenings. Our tickets are among the cheapest in Montreal, $10 for a regular entry or $8 for students, children, and seniors. We also offer 6-ticket movie cards for even more savings. Come see us at Casa d'Italia, just across from Jontolo Metro, and visit cinemapublic.ca to discover our programming. Le Cinéma Public for a lively cinema.
Hey, are you looking for an alternative to FM radio playlists? Then tune in to the World Beat News radio program right here on CJLO 1690 AM every Tuesday from noon to 1 p.m. to hear brand new World Beat music from mainly Canadian artists. Call or text at 848-7471.
Hello everyone, welcome back on Voice of the Voiceless with on CJLO 1690 AM. I'm your host Judy, and we have Mariam and we have Mira,
our special guest
for the day. So we're gonna continue. You were just listening to, actually I'm gonna say the artist name, Alışmadım by Aytaç Doğan. He's a Turkish artist and he was playing the kanun, which was Mariam's choice.
Yes, hopefully you liked it.
Yeah, we hope so. So we're going to continue with the questions with Mira. And we know you started writing your own songs and started recording. So we want to know, how is the process of pre-recording for you?
Okay, so I started off writing songs like... basically, I started off with poems. I'm such a huge fan of poetry. Mm-hmm. So I've always been like expressing through like words, and then I realized like, oh, I could write poems with this. Mm-hmm. And then ever since I started like playing instruments, I would play chords and then I would loop it. I would constantly play the same ones, and then I would start singing basically the words that I would write. So mm-hmm. slowly I made songs. They would start off as like verses or maybe just a really short song. Mm-hmm. I realized like, oh, this has potential. So I wrote my first song in like 2020 as well.
Mm-hmm. Did you publish the first song that you did or not really?
I posted it on YouTube, but I never took it seriously. It was just the first song that I wrote, and I thought it was like, it should be out there, you know? Like, it doesn't have to be the best song. Mm-hmm. It's the first song, so... I wrote it fully in English. It's called Blame It on the Hormones. It was an ironic title because usually when people are in relationships and it doesn't go well, the guy would blame it on the hormones. Mm. So it was it's kind of how it started. Mm-hmm. Very ironic, and the lyrics are kind of a mix of irony and like a real event that happened. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to have outside, and I wanted to share it because a lot of people would relate to it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. Yeah.
And you mentioned like you always look into poems and like start writing within the poem, but did you also like get your inspiration from an artist, from a specific person? Like, how do you usually, who is the person that you usually get inspired by?
Yeah, so most of my songs I write like from personal experience or like stories that I hear from my friends. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I would just like listen to a song and I would really like the idea that the song's about, and I'd be like, oh, how would it sound like if I did a take on this? Mm-hmm. Or maybe sometimes I would start off, and actually something I practiced in COVID that kind of helped me with the songwriting, I would take a song that's already out there, and then I'd basically write another perspective. I'm sure you've seen videos like that.
Mm. But how would that work? So you would listen to a song, memorize the lyrics, and then you would create a new song based on that.
Basically,
one?
It's
answering the question, answering the song, right?
Yeah, yeah. Or it would be like, if it's from a guy perspective, the other POV would be from the girl's perspective.
Oh, okay.
So an example of that, I did the Hey There, Delilah.
Okay.
So it's initially from the guy's perspective to Delilah, mm-hmm. but the other POV I wrote as Delilah, and she was responding to the guy. So it's a really nice way to kind of practice songwriting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow, interesting. And I never heard that technique. And do you like do you use the melodies from the song?
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. Okay. Okay. So you would play the exact same song. Okay. You just switch up the lyrics. The so lyrics, you would make okay. it your own.
Okay. Okay.
I did that as so it's something I've been doing a lot. It doesn't have to be as a song. It could be as like the Qanun, for example. The mm-hmm. Qanun. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have it on Western music, but mm-hmm. I would make a maybe my like my own version of it. Mm-hmm. I would add a Qanun solo to a song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to kind of like experiment with stuff like this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or for example, if it's an English song, you can write it in Arabic. You can write a different version in Arabic, which is what for example Eliana did with La Vie en Rose. It's an exact same melody, but she wrote it in Arabic.
Yeah, and she did it also with the Arabic to English one, which is the Amr Diab one. She like switched it up. Yeah, no, that's very interesting.
So it's a really nice way to make something your own.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you don't have it in you, or you feel shy to release something original,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
It takes the pressure off.
Yeah,
like having to reach a certain standard. Because people would expect something if it's something original, they'll criticize like the lyrics, the music, everything about it.
Mm.
But if it's a really famous song and you make it your own, then they can't really say much.
Right, right. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. like a pro tip for new musicians out there.
It's a very nice way to like actually like explain it, like you know how to write like your songs and how to practice.
There's so many ways mm-hmm. to go about it, like especially for new artists. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just write whatever you feel like writing, and use. There's a stigma where it's like, oh, if you copy, then it's frowned upon.
Mm.
It's not that you copy. It's basically you get inspiration
right.
from a work, and over time you start to establish your own kind of momentum and your own style.
Right.
So
right.
you start making stuff that are originals, but it always starts off with an artist copying another artist because they look up to them, so
yeah
that's how it works.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. It's like kind of not really copying. It's kind of just getting your inspiration, and then you find your way of like how you like to write your own songs and how you like them to be.
Exactly.
And your songs are like when I heard them, it's like a mix of like a lot of different genres together.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
how do you explain your genres of music?
I don't. That's the thing. especially because my first song, Lahza, and the second one, Foreign Land, are completely different sides of the mm-hmm. spectrum. You have pop, indie rock, soft rock, bedroom pop, bedroom rock. Like you don't even know what it is. And then on the other spectrum, you have soft R&B, Middle Eastern R&B, maybe like a hint of pop.
Yeah,
I don't even know. Like,
it's a mix of like
it just multiple, felt right.
yeah, multiple genres. Yeah,
yeah, it's like it also is a representation of my current phase. Like, what am I listening to right now?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I was listening to a lot of pop rock when I did Lahza, and I was like, I need to do something like this. I'm still in it, but my producer kind of challenged me with Foreign Land, and he was like, okay, put pop rock on the side and focus on like try something new.
Yeah.
And especially because like I'm still starting off with originals, so it's better to kind of expand and like try different things instead of like narrowing down yourself to one genre.
I love that. I love like how you're expanding your genres and not focusing on one thing, because it makes it more unique, and it makes you like more like, oh, if this artist plays like multiple genres, mm-hmm. so I can listen to her more because I like this genre and I like this genre mm-hmm. and I like this genre. And if I'm feeling this way, I can still listen to you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And another hack that I used is if I meet someone new and they find out that I play music, I kind of read their personality. And if I were to recommend one of the two songs, it would be based on their personality, because like if I met you right now, I would be like, oh, maybe you'd like Foreign Land. And then if I met someone that's like that looks like a goth or like a heavy metal listener, I'd give them Lahza and be like, oh, this is a soft take on you.
So
I guess
definitely like on different sides of the spectrum.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hearing.
And like I only have two songs now, but in the future when I have more,
you start
to like kind of, you know what song matches each personality. So if you were to like recommend the first song, mm-hmm. you know that, oh, they're probably gonna like this one because I made it and they like that genre.
So the music mm-hmm. You know, like is can like tell you about the personality of someone.
It's a marketing trick too.
That's true.
You're like, oh, you don't know I'm a singer, this is my song, and it matches your personality. It's really nice.
Should definitely like, share, subscribe, follow, stream 10,000 times.
For sure. Speaking, like, since we're speaking about foreign lands, Mimi, do you want to start asking her questions?
Well, maybe we can even play it, I guess. It's We can play
Foreign Land.
Mira's newest single called Foreign Land, and then after the song we can discuss more about it, discuss the themes around it and the blends of different musical lyrics and styles. So I'm happy to do that.
Okay, well, you're listening to Lahza by Mira Al Mouti.
Foreign Land, sorry.
Foreign Land.
Welcome back on the Voice of the Voiceless on CJLO 1690M. You were listening to Foreign Land by Mira
Al-Mati.
we're gonna, dive deep in that in the song. And I personally heard this song a few months ago, I think, when it was released, I believe. I was on Instagram and I found the song on a Reels or something like that, and I was like, okay, this is really interesting, and I love the chorus. I was really like hooked by the chorus, and we also met before you released this song, so I was like, okay, this girl I know, it's a little girl releasing a new song. I was like so excited. So could you tell us more about the writing process behind The Foreign Land?
Of course. I actually don't remember how I started writing it. I think it was just a burst of like inspiration that I wrote when I was coming back from Jordan, and like when I landed. I either started it in the plane or on the way, like on the car from the airport to here. Mm-hmm. But I was definitely going through homesickness, even though I just got here. Like, and I remember picking up the song again. Like, I left it for a bit, and then I came back to it. I rediscovered it somehow. And I don't know, I really wanted something that was a mix of both English and Arabic. Yeah. Like, that's what I wanted for the song. Mm-hmm. And I guess the words just came out naturally because that's what I was going through at the time, being between two different lands.
Yeah.
And especially living in the foreign land. It's nostalgic. Like, the song is definitely nostalgic. And the first part of the song is basically a look back at my childhood. Mm-hmm. And, like, I mentioned stuff that, like, probably every Arab kid probably went through. Like, ulad bidawr aknuz. Like, we would look through my grandpa's garden for, like, stuff we could find. And then picking from the fig trees.
Yeah.
It's all just basically like a monologue and imagery of my childhood. Especially being in my grandpa's house, like, it's something like really engraved into my memory that it was like I wanted to write about it.
Yeah.
And Fairuz, she was one of the biggest inspirations in my childhood. Like, I would listen to her like almost every day. And he would play her, like, my grandpa would play her songs on the radio every single day as well. So it always reminds me of home, which I really wanted. And then the chorus is the part where, like, oh, I moved to a new country, I am supposed to speak the foreign language. And all the struggles that come with being an international student, being a foreigner, being like maybe not being able to speak the same language that they speak. And not necessarily for me, but a lot of people face that, especially people that would migrate from other countries. So this song kind of targets everyone in a sense that moved in at any point in their life. It's either you are stuck in a land and you can't go back. It's either you recently moved to that land, or you're like just an international student that's studying abroad. It just kind of ticks a lot of people's, like, a lot of audiences.
It relates to a lot of people.
Different ages as well. I would say 18 plus. But in a sense, or not necessarily, there are a lot of people that I know that migrated when they were like 16 15. Moved when they were 9, so it kind of, it targets like a lot of ages.
No, I find that beautiful, the fact that you like blended Arab music and like Western music together. What do you find it important to do that, like, especially here in Canada, to really like encourage Arab music and to, you know, create a space for it, create opportunity for other Canadians and maybe even Arabs who don't really know a lot about their culture, or like they've lived here their whole life and they want to learn more about it. Why do you feel it's important to do that as a singer, and do you feel it is important, and are you willing to, you know, continue with that path in the future, depending on how much, you know, how much warmth and how much love that you feel throughout this music?
For sure. It's a part of my identity at the end of the day. Like, you're moving to a country and you're not just gonna forget who you are. And I think just self-expression, like, your culture comes with self-expression, and your identity is also like, it plays a key role in your identity. So if you don't express that, then like, what are you expressing, you know? So it's kind of in your nature to do that. And especially like if you're a singer, if you're like a social, like a content creator, it's really important to use your platform to kind of spread awareness about those stuff, especially like with everything going on. And it puts a toll on you, And it gives you a sense of responsibility more than ever. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. you're a Palestinian and you have all of this privilege. Mm-hmm. You should take advantage of that.
Right.
You have so many people
platform.
To speak to.
Mm-hmm.
And you are moving to a new country with a lot of people that don't know about you and your identity and your culture.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
about the war that's, like, about... you know,
mm-hmm,
the
mm-hmm.
genocide that's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is like a lot of things that are going on now, and yeah, it's really yeah. important to talk about it more than ever.
Yeah, yeah.
So Foreign Land is not only just like about missing home, it's also about sharing your culture.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I have a lot of friends that I made here that don't know much about my culture.
Mm-hmm,
they
mm-hmm.
they weren't exposed to it because, you know, why would they?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
yeah, like providing a space for that, and like, you know, as a musician, I feel like sometimes, or like an artistic creator,
yeah,
it's important to, you know, showcase issues that are important for us, for mm-hmm. That really align with our identity. And I'm very happy to see more musicians spreading awareness about issues that concern them through artistic means, through music, us through the radio show, mm-hmm. through books, through, you know, any other form of artistic mm-hmm. creation. I feel like that's very beautiful. And yeah. That's how we can, you know, preserve our heritage and keep it alive
yeah,
in the
100%.
Country.
Yeah, I especially like me coming here and meeting all of these like different people from different backgrounds.
Yeah.
They kind of make you want to talk about your home, your country,
yeah.
especially because they don't know much about it.
Mm-hmm,
and especially because I make music that is in English and Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them came up to me, they were like, I've never heard anything like this, because
wow.
why would, like, when would they be able to hear a mix of Qanun in the background
yeah.
with
mm-hmm.
an English chorus with percussions in the background? And yeah. it was a blend that it's not very common.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm taking advantage of that, even though it's harder to market as, you know, something bilingual, because a lot of, for example, radio stations or a lot of playlists would be like strictly English, strictly Arabic.
Mm-hmm.
And because this is a new thing to be exposed to the world, like the bilingual Arabic English.
Yeah. They're not used to it. So
They're not used to it. There aren't many platforms that mm-hmm. introduce it to the world. So
yeah.
it's nice to be able to build on top of that, because
yeah.
it could be a future, you know.
Yeah, and it's only the beginning, I feel like. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like,
yeah.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
No,
yeah.
there's a lot of artists who are doing that, like even like going back to Eliana mm. again, she even like,
it's kind of like the pioneer.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
yeah,
she really
like
she spread
really
out the mm-hmm. that idea of
like even with Coldplay
to,
when
yeah.
when they made the song We Pray, she also yeah. sang in Arabic with them, which is I see like amazing when I see
yeah.
artists collaborating and like promoting this idea of bilingualism.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Coldplay is one of my favorite bands
yeah,
to ever exist. Like the
yeah.
fact that she reached that point is just more than crazy to me, but also refreshing to know that she came from somewhere
mm-hmm.
and the world is still so small that you, like, with the right connections, with the right momentum and consistency, like, you can reach a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
her reaching one of the biggest bands in the world just motivates other artists that think, like, oh, I'll never reach them.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way on earth, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then it's refreshing to see, like, Eliana do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of artists are following. And
yeah.
With this momentum, it's nice to be one that collaborates and basically rides the wave as well.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I feel like it's she opens opportunities. So
yeah.
and it's like if she can make it, you know, other people can make
exactly,
it.
Exactly, exactly.
So
yeah.
I love that, you know, she's she took that step, and a lot of musicians like you
mm-hmm.
are following her. And I believe that she's also some sort of inspiration for you.
100%.
Yeah,
like
okay.
ever since I met her in real life
mm-hmm.
after the concert, actually.
Yeah.
I spoke to her and told her about my music.
Yeah, yeah.
And I still didn't release anything that like then. And I always told her that I've been wanting to do this, and it's been a huge goal of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, 100% for sure, like, you have to do this. And like, if you ever need any help, let me know. So I was like, yeah, bet, like, I'll send it to you the second I finish. I even met Tali, her sister, and it's really nice to see the whole family come together. Like, her brother
yeah.
plays, she plays it, her
yeah.
sister is her designer. Like, it's a full band,
yeah.
like, it's
yeah,
a full
yeah.
crew.
Yeah.
yeah, so it's nice to have met them.
And you got the words of encouragement from her too. It's like, yeah. It's
like, you know, if she's supporting me, then who cares? Then
go ahead, Carly. Do you. Yeah.
Never stop. Yeah. But now that was before her Coldplay tour. So she's probably so busy right now.
You never know.
You know?
Actually, you never know. Try it out.
Try
reaching out to her, because it's just such a small world, and I feel like artists, even like big artists, are still willing to go to like smaller artists and like supporting them. And I see that in every concert or in every event that I go to, they always bring someone before them to support in a way.
Yeah, so like openers.
Yeah, openers. Yeah. And I think that's a very good way to like actually expand your music. And
Who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe one day.
One day maybe. We're gonna talk about performance and events. So have you ever been on stage? If yes, how was the first experience and first performance of being on stage? What, like, how did it go for you? How were you feeling?
So I've been a theater kid since I was 9. I've been acting in shows and musicals at school. It was like a extracurricular, and I was really interested in it. It happened by coincidence, because I was in a choir, and then the choir decided to basically support the musical that was happening. And at the time, they were casting for Sound of Music.
Ooh, I love that play.
Yeah, it was the first musical that I've ever been in, first stage presence. That was to an audience that was like more than 300, 400 people. And 4 days of just people and just like in front of all of these, like, this huge number is overwhelming, but because you're singing and you're doing something you love,
it was so fun
because it was a coincidence. I happened to be the fit that they wanted for one of the girls that were casted, like Brigitte. She is one of the children.
Okay.
So one of the main characters. That was huge for me. It was like my first time, and I was like casted as one of the kids in Sound of Music. So I was like so hyped about it. They were like, "Oh, can you sing?" Yeah, duh. I'm in this choir. Like, I think I can sing. So they were like, "Okay, then take the role." I was like, "Okay, sure. Why not?" And I went back home and I told Mama. I was like, "Mama, I got casted for a musical. I don't know how. Don't ask me. But they want me to sing. So I guess I'm singing." So there was dancing involved, singing, since then I started joining like every other musical since then. Which was so fun. It kind of made me get over that stage fright. I still get like nervous every now and then because ever since then it's been like go.
Trying it out.
And you also did a performance at an event in McGill.
Pasco.
Yeah, could you tell us more about that? I think it's maybe one of your most recent performances. You can just share with us your experience over there. What feelings did you get from the audience, things like that?
It was the first ever show that I did in Montreal.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was a big deal for me. First time singing in front of this many people here. And it was my first, basically, exposure to such a big audience as well. And it was in a really, really, really beautiful spot. I forgot the name of the place, but it basically looked like those really old opera houses.
Nice. Okay, I think I know what you're talking about.
Is it called MTELUS?
MTELUS or Théâtre Saint-Denis, Théâtre Maisonneuve.
One of those. Yeah, but it was beautiful. I was even shocked by the place. Like, I wasn't expecting this. It was such a coincidence as well. Like, my roommate mentioned it to me. She was like, "Oh, there's this festival that comes every once a year. You should definitely apply." And then I was like, "Why don't we apply?" And she sings, by the way. So, we both decided to do it because, like, why not? And I was less anxious about it because I was doing it with her. So I ended up auditioning with her. We filmed, like, a cover of us, like, doing a mashup, actually. It was a mashup of Summer After High School, like, Katy Perry. And Flashlight.
Okay.
It was a really nice mashup. I don't know, I think we were singing one of them, and then I started singing the other on top of that, and she was like, wait, that sounds good. And I was like, okay, let's do it. So we ended up auditioning with that song, and then they reached out to me. They were like, we just came across your profile, why don't you audition by yourself? So I was like, you know what, I'll just send you a couple of videos of mine, and since you have my profile, like, that's a lot of videos there. So I ended up auditioning as well by myself, and I ended up getting both the duet and the solo.
The solo.
Yeah, so it was really fun, and it was actually funny because everything that could have went wrong that day went wrong.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, it was so funny because it really brought out the theater kid in me. Like, what do you do when everything goes wrong? Because I was supposed to be the final act, right?
Okay.
Before the final, and then I would end with the duet, right?
Okay.
So I went up on stage, I got my guitar, everything was ready, like, I'm ready to go, right? So I started singing, testing the guitar. The guitar wasn't plugged into the amp.
Oh,
okay, so I plug in the amp, okay, everything's cool, let's go. And then I say go. And then the soundtrack stops working.
Oh, no.
Like,
oh,
great. Okay, so
and
let's...
this was, like, live.
This was live, oh, this, like, in front of, like,
everyone
500 people.
Oh,
and everyone's just, like,
waiting,
looking at me, and I'm like, so how's the weather today? Like, pretty nice. Then they were just like swarming in the back, and they were like trying to fix the amp. So the amp didn't work.
Oh no.
And then we had like a 10-minute of stand-up comedy that I don't know how it happened, but I just started speaking.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You did the comedy?
Yeah, I just did a stand-up comedy.
Seriously?
Like, straight up. I was like, you know what? Fuck this. Sorry, I was... censor that.
Bleep.
Yeah. So they ended up getting me a separate mic. I started playing, and they were like, okay, by the time we fix this, just do the duet with Aya, my roommate. So we were like, okay, I'll do the duet.
Yeah.
We sang the duet, and it went so well. It was amazing. And then I ended up being the final act, the closing act.
Okay.
Everything was
the best
done
for the last.
By then. And it was amazing. It was amazing because I talked about Palestine and about the cause, and especially because it was like, oh, they were all like white people and foreigners, and I'm like, oh,
it's
this is
chance.
Very risky, but this is so worth it.
Yeah.
So I ended up talking about it, and every like the feedback that I got was amazing. Like, they started like clapping and they were so optimistic about it.
Yeah.
So it made me even more hyped about it. So then I started the mashup. It was one of the most successful videos that I posted. It was a mashup between Voila and an Arabic song called Hulm. A really beautiful, both of them are really beautiful songs. And I was singing, I remember, in a hallway, and with the echo and everything. Actually, it wasn't a hallway, it was a staircase that day. And I decided to mash up both of them, and it was way more successful than I thought.
That was amazing.
So
yeah,
they reached out to me
because
cover.
Of that.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
So
because it was
singing.
Amplified too, because of the way it was, like, you sang it in the stairway, so it's like amplified
exactly,
the music.
Exactly. Yeah. They were like, we love this cover, we want you to sing it live.
Yeah. And I think your voice matches a lot, like any room that echoes, like your voice has like
reverb,
a very very like light, like dreamy, like sound to it. So any reverb, any echoey room will like amplify that. So I really like it. You were at the show, you were a comedian, you were a duo, you were a solo, you were everything, girly.
It was so funny. Like, you gotta do what you gotta do,
you're in
that spotlight, and
you gotta,
what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Because like I'm standing there for like 10 minutes staring at the crowd. Like, what do I do?
Right.
Yeah. But how did you start the comedy? I'm just so curious.
I don't even want to talk about that. That was so random. I don't know what possessed me that day. I think I swear, when you're under pressure, everything will work. Everything in your brain will try to
make
fix the problem.
You're like on survival mode, like
literally, like survival.
Like,
it's
like worth it.
I just started speaking, and they were laughing, and I was like, okay, I think I'm doing something right. Keep going. And then that was that. And Yeah.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love that.
Hopefully to more successful shows.
Yeah, more performances.
Shows.
Yeah. And I love that was your first one and it was such a success. And the video also behind it was also a success. So, girly, you got this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We can end off the radio show by your second song, Lahza. And then I think after that, we would end the show. So should I end the show now and then play the song?
We can ask one last question and then put the song. And then
okay, perfect. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Awesome, yeah.
Okay, my question would be, if you want to tell your younger self or to the people who are looking to actually start singing and start performing and just like... do like they want to pursue art or pursue music, what one thing would you want to tell them?
Yeah, so some of my friends actually reached out to me and they're like, I sing and I really want to start putting myself out there. And like, all I would say would be, if you really want it, just start posting. Like, don't think of the consequences, don't think of the reaction, don't look at the comments, don't look at the likes, just post and just keep posting, be consistent. And you could target so many people, because what I do could branch out into so many things. Like, if they want to start songwriting is something separate, if they want to pick up an instrument, that's another thing, to start singing. So if I were to target, for example, songwriters, don't abide by a specific structure. Pretend like you're ranting, and then slowly you'd start saying stuff that actually sound good, and you'd be like, wait, that's a really nice idea, I want to build up for that. So if someone wants to start songwriting, just keep creating, stop consuming as much.
Yeah.
Because when you start consuming, you start comparing yourself a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's one thing I also try to listen to myself when I say, like, consume less and create more. So that's one thing for creators. But for people that want to pick up an instrument, now it's easier than ever to pick up, because you have YouTube Academy. That's literally you can have a whole bachelor's from YouTube. I'm doing that for myself because I'm learning music production, like, from scratch. So YouTube has been really helping me. And a lot of people just texted me. They're like, I really want to play guitar. How do I start? Like, I started off like singing and playing four chords on repeat. That was it. That was how I learned. And then I started listening to songs I like. Oh, I want to play that. So when you're learning an instrument, don't go the conventional route. Try to pick a song you really like. And try to master that one song. So that you can flex when someone tells you, oh, you know how to play guitar? Yeah, duh. And then play that one song and you know, they'd be like forever blown.
Ingrained in their mind. So yeah, don't abide by the rules. That's what I'm listening.
Break the rules.
Yeah, either if you're a songwriter or someone who wants to start to play music, just like follow your heart and you know, you don't need to like follow the convention. So
Because who said the qanun goes with drums? Nobody up until I decided to put the qanun and the drums together, and that was foreign land. So
that's the secret.
I'll never tell. Okay, I had to say that because you're just
exclusive on Voice of the Voiceless. CCLL 69 AM.
XOXO.
Gossip Girl.
Yep. So that's that. And just if you're a content creator, just do it. Just like actually do it. Don't think too much. Be consistent. There's something called trial reels, which is something new, which I have been obsessed over. It's basically Insta's way of telling you, okay, I'm not gonna show your followers, I'm gonna show people that you have no idea about, that have never seen you before. So they would take your video and they would throw it to random strangers and see how it works. So you get views from strangers online. So it's been very nice for me because I've been using it recently, and it's pushing my videos out to people I've never met, have never seen my content.
Okay.
It kind of gets the stress away from like people you know seeing you
like
and judging you
or something.
Yeah, that was the worst part. Yeah. Like, I swear.
That's like the fear I think everyone has. Like, oh my God, will high school students or friends?
That's why you block them. Yeah. I mean, that's.